Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Oh my goodness, it is Thursday night, and this here is Cage Zombies Radio. Thank you very much for joining us here in Cage Zombies Radio. We couldn't appreciate it anymore. With me, as always, is my co-host, Spencer Diablo, Pablo Diablo, one of the two, Kirksey, and my name is Matthew the Mouth. So how are you guys doing today? Spencer, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Matthew. I'm not as enthusiastic as you. I'm still trying to figure out why Blog Talk Radio changed its format, but I guess I'll just have to get past that and go on with the show.
I'm going to be honest with you, my friend. I don't think Blog Talk Radio has any idea what they're doing. But, oh well, we're here anyways, and we're ready to talk some MMA. And my goodness, do we have a lot of it tonight. We are joined by the voice of the XFC, Mr. Cyrus Fees. I can't tell you how excited I am about that. Cyrus is a veteran of the Madhouse Family Radio Productions. It'll be his first time here with us on Cage Zombies Radio, and I know that Spencer and myself are both beyond excited for that because Cyrus is one cool dude, and I am excited, as Spencer is, to talk with him tonight and kind of hear what got him into this, you know, what really started it out for him, where he got his start at, and I mean, the guy's everywhere. You know, we're going to talk specifically XFC tonight, but the guy is the voice of many great promotions around the world. Like, around the entire world, this guy is traveling. So be excited to talk to him tonight. We're going to talk more RFC 30 as we get real close to the event here next Friday night. Tonight we'll be joined by the matchmaker, assistant, right-hand man of the RFC, Mr. Chris Big Boy, and we'll be joined also by Wesley Cantillo out of, I believe, South Florida, Miami area, kind of helped with the contacts down there with some of the fighters, and this RFC 30 is going to be very big on Tampa versus Miami, so we're going to hear a lot about that tonight. These guys are fired up, and these guys have a lot to say. There's a reason RFC 30 is being called Turf Wars, and we're going to see what goes down when we see some of these Tampa guys take on some of the Miami guys. I'm not going to lie. I do my best to stay impartial, but I'm a little partial towards the Tampa guys. It is where I live. It's the guys I know. As the guys I see on a regular basis, and I'm going to be honest, man, some of these Tampa guys, I just don't see them losing in any way, so we'll see what happens. It is going to be a great night of fights for sure. And then we'll talk with Danny Matos, defending his 145-pound title at WCFL 8, also next week, and that event's going down Saturday night at the Doubletree in Tampa, so we'll talk to Danny. He'll be defending that title against Luis Zakara, man. Luis is dropping from 155, the current 155-pound title holder, and he's going to forfeit that title to drop down to 145 to challenge Danny. So that's going to be a sick fight, one of probably the most prolific fights on that fight card, and it is going to be a great weekend of fights next week here in Florida. Not to mention, we also got Breakthrough MMA 11 going down that weekend too that day. So we'll have more about those events, and we'll talk more about those as the night goes on. I think what we're going to do here... we'll go ahead and we'll get rolling with Cyrus Fees. So I think Spencer will go ahead and give him a call. We'll get him on the phone, and we'll get rolling with the voice of the XFC. You know, the XFC's got some big things going on, and I'm just very excited to have this relationship with them, be doing these interviews week after week. It's a lot of fun, and there's just always great fighters and great people to talk to at the XFC, and Cyrus is definitely among one of those, and I'm sure the guy will have plenty to say. Who knows, he may even take over and run this interview for all I know, so we'll see what he's got to say here. Spencer's working on getting him on the phone. In the meantime, we just want to say a thank you to our sponsors, All Out Fight Shop, Pro-Am Belts, Crossroader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, Intimidation Clothing, Jax Media Canada, BrawlBase.com, Valley Auto Auction, AOL MMA, and all of the great sponsors here at MMA Madhouse. So I think we got him ready to go. I'm going to let Spencer go ahead and bring him in.
All righty, folks. We are live with the voice of the XFC as well as many other organizations. He's all over the place. Cyrus Fees, how you doing tonight, Cyrus?
Doing good. How you doing, Matt?
Doing very good. Listen, man, you're a veteran of the Madhouse family, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. You've done a lot of our shows. You're very acquainted with Skippy, Lapati, and some of our guys. It's your first time here with us, and we're both very excited to kind of get the chance to talk to you because you're just about the busiest ring announcer in this sport, man. Just let's go back in time. How did you get involved, and how did you get rolling with the ring announcing?
When I was younger, I watched a lot of WWF back when it was WWF. And I always thought that the ring announcer was a really cool job. I don't know why. I just always did and kind of always related to it. And, you know, I started getting into media and radio and some of these things. And one time when I was in college, I just reached out to a small wrestling organization. I never got paid for about a year, did the ring announcing. And after I kind of learned the ropes a little bit, I decided I wanted to start making money. So I stepped away from professional wrestling because you really can't make anything on the independent scene at all. And I started inquiring about MMA. The more I kind of got into it, it was probably around 2006 is when I really started watching it. And it was probably 2007 when I started kind of inquiring about how to do it. And I got my first shot, and I just kind of kept going up the ladder, man. It just made the right connections. And last year was a big year for me. So I don't know how to explain it. It's just been a really good ride for me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now tell us a little bit about how you got rolling with the XFC.
You know, XFC kind of did this whole tour through Tennessee. I'm based out of Tennessee. And, you know, I did a lot of the regional shows here. And I also have my TV show, MMA Inside the Cage, which is still going strong. On Fight Now TV up in New York, and we make it here in Tennessee and send it off to New York. And we started covering the XFC. A lot of fighters from our area got some opportunities because it came through Tennessee and came through our region. So we started going to these XFC fights. I believe my first one was in Knoxville. And, you know, I made friends with John Prisco. He appreciated all the coverage that we did for him, and we started previewing their cards and actually did an interview with him out in Las Vegas, which is probably his most famous interview to date, is when he said, you know, in 5 years, we feel like we can be bigger than the UFC. And that was in 2012. So he still can make it happen, and he's well on his way. But, you know, he and I became pretty close, and then, you know, they did a little bit of a change in their staff, and I had an opportunity to step in there and take that job, and I took it, and it was a really big opportunity for me to get on Access TV, to get some really good exposure, and it's been great the entire way, man. I like working with the XFC. I love working with the XFC, and this whole Brazil excursion and this change over to XFC International and some of these things is just it's mind-blowing.
What was it like going down to Brazil for the first time?
You know, I did a lot of reading. It's funny because when you get your visa, you gotta kind of have to go through the immigration. And I read some frequently asked questions, FAQs about Brazil. And there was a lot of like big time warnings, like, you know, a lot of things written in red. Don't go here. Don't go there. There's carjackings here. There's this, there's this, there's this. Don't drink the water. Just, I mean, a huge list, to say the least. So I was a little nervous going. And, you know, I always thought back in the day, it's like you always hear about, like, kidnappings and stuff. So I was, like, tripped out a little bit, to be completely honest. But it's different. Once you're there, it's not bad at all. I mean, all the people were very nice to me. Everybody that I had conversations with from at the restaurants to the airport, et cetera, everybody was very welcoming in Sao Paulo. And it was a really good experience, man. No complaints at all. I mean, XFC took care of us. Hedgy TV, the company that they're working with down there, the network, is tremendous. I mean, I can't say enough good things about that company. I mean, just their studios are immaculate. I mean, the best technology that you'll see. I mean, camera angles, and just they had a little drone flying over the audience during the show with the camera on it. I mean, it was just, it was really cool stuff.
Now that you experienced announcing in Brazil and in America, what would you say is the better reaction that you got when you were announcing, announcing a Brazilian fighter for Brazilians and announcing an American fighter for Americans?
The Brazilian fans were very, very vocal. And I kind of got a taste of that when I went to, I can't think of what the number was, but it was Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva 2 in Las Vegas. And there were a ton of Brazilians there for that fight. Of course, you know, Chael had been talking all the trash, so they kind of came out in droves to support Anderson. And I kind of saw how vocal they could be. And then at that event, you know, it was a VIP-only event. So they had just, like, really, like, the pretty much the high rollers and the big dogs of Latin America were there. And they were extremely vocal. Like, they really backed the Brazilian fighters. And it was usually Brazil versus, you know, Argentina, or Brazil versus USA, Brazil versus Mexico. So that's pretty much, that was the entire night. It's kind of like Brazil against the world. And they really got behind the Brazilian fighters. I mean, I don't know if I can compare the two. I mean, I've been in some crazy hostile events here in the U.S. that have been, you know, great reactions. So it's kind of hard to compare them, but they're really good fans, to say the least. And it was a really cool audience. They appreciated what I did. And I got better reactions than I thought I would because, you know, I didn't do much in Portuguese at all. I did, like, my opening in Portuguese, and then I just pretty much kept it English the rest of the way. I kind of figured if they'd been watching UFC and some of these other MMA shows that they would kind of understand height, weight, record, that sort of thing, and they did. So it turned out really well.
You mentioned your TV show a little bit earlier. How has it been balancing that with announcing for the XFC?
Not too bad. You know, we've been doing it for over 3 years now. So, you know, I've kind of got MMA inside the cage on a routine, and I know how to handle it. I don't know how to explain it, man. It just kind of comes second nature at this time. It's like, you know, tying your shoes or brushing your teeth. You know, doing MMA inside the cage is just something that I do, and I have a lot of connections with different shows around the world. And, you know, we don't cover UFC whatsoever. So, you know, we really have to kind of look for our – we really have to look for our stuff, you know, and it's no offense against UFC. It's just everybody covers UFC, you know, so I don't feel like we need to cover UFC at all. You know, there's 17 different radio shows probably airing right now as we speak that are talking about UFC, and that's fine and dandy, but there's a lot of good MMA out there. But balancing is fine, man. You know, when I do these shows, especially international shows, I'm gone for, you know, 4 days at a time, usually minimum. So a lot of the times I got to take my work on the road, and I got to do a lot of work on the road and have to be away from my family. So those are kind of the cons of it. But the balancing act has been interesting. This last year, like I said, was my biggest year. I went to probably 7 different countries last year, as far away as Australia and some of these places. And, you know, more the travel than anything is the most difficult thing, I guess.
What was your favorite place to visit?
Oh, man, you know, a lot of people have asked me that. And yeah, they all kind of have their good qualities. I really enjoyed Australia. You know, that's a place that I've been down there 5 times now. I've been to Melbourne 3 times, and I've been to Sydney twice, pretty much within the last calendar year. And it's an extremely long plane ride, but, you know, it's kind of all that you think that it is. The people are really cool. Of course, you got the accents. I went to the zoo at one point and saw a lot of the animals. They're not like, you know, you don't have like kangaroos going through the street or anything like that. It's not too crazy. And, you know, there's not Crocodile Dundee looking folks running around, but, you know what I'm saying? But like, they were really cool people and everybody's really nice. It's a safe place. They have very, very low crime. So like, I felt like I could kind of walk anywhere by myself and not worry about things, which is always a good feeling. And it's real beautiful, too. So, I mean, it's Australia's probably my favorite, to say it. But Brazil was really cool. I'm looking forward to going back there in a couple weeks and checking it out again, and another 8 times this year. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time in Brazil. So I may change my mind by the end of it, and Brazil might be my favorite.
You've announced probably a couple thousand fighters now, especially international. Has there been a name that you had trouble pronouncing?
Oh, God. Oh, bro, come on, man. The European fighters are tough. And the thing is, like, it's funny because they have very specific pronunciations, same with the Brazilian fighters as well. And the way that, like, a Joe Rogan or a lot of the commentators here from the States, the way they pronounce it is incorrect, probably 90% of the time. And when you're down in that environment, you have to get it right. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm trying to think of a name off the top of my head that everybody kind of gets wrong, but, and I can't, but anyways, like, you want to get it right for the audience, because otherwise they're going to kind of look at you like you're a jackass. You know what I mean? Like, it's your job to cater to the audience that you're with. So when I'm in Brazil, I kind of have to have a little bit of a Brazilian accent, and I have to get their names right. If I'm in Romania, I have to do the same thing. I was down in Abu Dhabi, same thing. I mean, it's so, yeah, that's a little tricky, and usually I have to talk to somebody from there and have them explain it to me. But once you explain it to me, I'll kind of write it out phonetically, and it's usually not too difficult. But, yeah, they get a little tricky when you get to these different countries, and you want to get it right.
It's funny, like, I sit and when you watch some of these old MMA DVDs, like, you watch early Pride stuff, and they didn't know how to pronounce a lot of the Brazilians' names back then. It's just, like, it's funny to hear and to think how much it's evolved since then, and how you got everybody now, you know, everybody's got that catch that for Brazilians you don't pronounce the R, and you've noticed a big change in the sport. But it's funny to kind of look back on some of those early days and see people come, you know, saying, like, Shogun Rua or Renzo Gracie and stuff like that. Like, I laugh now, but at the time,
right,
I would imagine that those fighters were just probably, like, they're, like, losing their mind. Like, come on, guy. You know, it's like a H. You don't say the R and stuff, but
I got you.
I guess
I'll tell you before. Yeah, let me tell you my best story on that. Okay. I went down to Abu Dhabi for Abu Dhabi Warriors. It was a first-time event, and that was the biggest, at that time, the biggest opportunity I'd ever had. I'd talked to a promoter in Europe, and another ring announcer kind of gave me the hookup on it. And, long story short, but I get down there, and it's an American versus a Croatian. And the American, I don't know if you know who he is. I'm sure you probably do. Travis View. You know who that is? Big heavyweight guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, his name is spelled W-I-U-F-F, okay? You wouldn't get View from that any way you look
nope.
at it. You're never going to look at that and say View, ever. You know what I mean? So I find out that's what the pronunciation is. So, I mean, probably like 2 weeks before I even go there, I'm constantly, like, drilling it. Like, me and my wife are, like, just drilling this thing back and forth. I'm like, View, 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 View. You know, on the plane, View, View, View. Okay, we do the intro for the fight. We bring the fighters out, like, Pride style, like, you know, the parade of fighters. Everything goes peachy keen. Main event time, and I go to announce his name, and I go, Travis, Diesel, Woof. And it just came out of my mouth, and there wasn't nothing to save me, and I felt like, you know, somebody had just shot me. Like, it was the worst feeling, like, in the world, man. And that sort of stuff happens. I mean, you get under the bright lights, and nobody's perfect, and like I said, that was my first big opportunity, but it just sucked that it was in the main event, you know what I mean? I made it through about 6 different Russian names and a few different Slovenian names, and then I get to the American name, and I just completely screw it up, and so I apologize to the guy. He ended up losing the fight on top of that, so I hope that I didn't have anything to do with him losing this fight by calling his name out wrong, but, you know, I don't know. That was one of my worst stories to date.
Did you fear for your life after that? Because that's a pretty big dude to piss off.
He's a monster. No, he was really cool. It was funny. His girlfriend, I got back home, and his girlfriend got on Facebook and started talking a little mess about it, and I got on there and I apologized and stuff, and she was just more or less pissed that he lost and upset that he lost, and she apologized to me and everything, but she kind of went off on me. But no, I didn't fear for my life. He was actually a really cool dude. He had fought so many times that, you know, it didn't bother him at all. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's so used to people butchering his name that it just kind of comes second nature.
Yeah. Now, what would you say for, like, I mean, maybe, like, young people wanting to get involved in this? You know, if there's young people out there who've got these aspirations, because let's be honest, I grew up watching WWF and stuff, you know, and I loved the Raw as War and the Attitude Era, and seeing some of the, just the way that the guys out there would announce and be, and for that, because it was all such theater and entertainment, that the announcers at many times were involved in the action, you know, like, for other people out there who maybe have those same dreams, maybe they want to grow up, they want to be an announcer for an MMA, WWF boxing, whatever it may be, what would be, like, words of advice you would have for young people like that?
You got to pay your dues. You got to be willing to work your craft. And there's still times, you know, I feel like I've come a long way, and, you know, I mean, a lot of accomplishments I got in the last 2 years.
But
you still there? Sorry, Matt.
All right, now we got it. I think
we're good.
Still with us?
All
right. Yeah, I don't know what
that is. Run that last question back.
I just wanted to say, basically, what would you have to say to maybe young people out there who are interested in doing the same thing? You know, if somebody wanted to get involved in ring announcing, what's the best way for somebody to get involved with that and kind of maybe get the ball rolling on their own career in that business?
I mean, there's contact promoters. Constantly be in contact with these guys, and kind of bug them. You know, I mean, because a lot of guys have things that I noticed, especially in the U.S., is that a lot of promoters have their same announcer, and even if he's not that great of an announcer, and that's not to be mean. You know, I'm just being real. Even if you think you can do better than him, they might be loyal to him, and you got to be willing to just kind of always put your name in their ear and always be calling them and just let them know that you're still out. Try to find new organizations to pop up and just try to get your shot, man. There's a lot of guys trying to do not a whole lot of jobs, you know, so it's like anything in the entertainment industry. I mean, it's just a very tough industry. So you just got to put yourself out there the best way that you can. And if you want it bad enough, you get it. I found that with just about anything. If you want it bad enough, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to get your opportunity. How you handle that opportunity is completely up to you, but you can get your opportunity if you really try and you really work at it, and you really contact people enough times, they're going to give you your shot just to see if you can do it. So I guess that'd be my advice, is just, you know, bust your ass and, you know, make the contacts and be willing to take the time to make all those contacts and just go with it.
Right on, man. Well, listen, man, thank you very much for joining us tonight. It was a pleasure to have you. I've been looking forward to the opportunity for a while. Get to talk to you. Like I said, you know, you've been a veteran and a you know, of the Madhouse family here. Been on with the guys a few times, and glad that you could be with us tonight. And looking forward to seeing some awesome stuff from you. And looking forward, we talked to John a few weeks back, and he did mention how they're looking at. I think he said roughly half their shows in Florida this year. So looking forward to seeing a lot of the XSC here in Tampa and a lot of Cyrus in person, man. That'd be really awesome. You know, I think I got the chance to briefly meet you at XSC 24, if I'm not mistaken. And
I think we did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But it was so crazy, man. Anytime it's like the day of the event, it's always super busy, and it's like, and I meet a lot of people, but I do remember meeting you, and obviously you were sitting there at Press Row and everything, so. I can't wait. And I've heard a lot of rumblings myself. They actually kind of keep me in the dark on a lot of stuff. I don't know if it's because I also have a news show, a news TV show, so, you know, they don't want me to leak stuff on my show. But I've heard rumblings that we're going to be in Florida, and I'm excited about that. And if John said it, then, of course, we're going to be there because he's a pretty straight shooter. So I invite everybody to tune in on March 15th for XSC International 2. Even if you don't understand the commentary right away, it's still going to be great fights. I'm telling you, man, some of those fights when I was in Brazil a couple weeks back were some of the best fights I've ever seen. I know they shared the fight between the two girls, between Silvana Juarez and Bianca Daimoni, and those girls killed it, bro. That was one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life in person. So, I mean, definitely check it out. The production value is beautiful. You'll definitely enjoy it. And just do whatever you got to do as far as the commentary. Learn Portuguese or wait until we drop it on the internet with English commentary. I mean, I'm working on my Portuguese as we speak. I'm trying to get better at it. And I can tell you for sure that we are going to be releasing the fights from Brazil with English commentary. And that's actually going to be done by me and my partner, Casey Oxenine. So we are going to be releasing that very soon. So, you know, watch the fights, and then if you want to rewatch them with our commentary so you know exactly what's going on, then you can do that as well.
Yeah, right on. And Cyrus, where can people find you on social media?
Social media. All right. Anybody that's listening to the show, I have a demand. I have a request. Completing. Follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is pathetic. maybe it's I'm not diligent at it. I don't know. I've heard that there's like a science to Twitter. I don't know what it is, but I'm just garbage at Twitter. So I need people to follow my Twitter. I'm pretty decent on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook and just search Cyrus Fees. If you have any friends in MMA, then you're probably going to be able to find me pretty easy. There's not too many Cyruses in the sport. And then on Twitter, it's at Cyrus the Show. And like I said, Twitter people, get on it. You know, we need some sort of social media rally to get me some followers because it's, like I said, it's pretty lame. It kills my self-esteem every time I look at my Twitter.
We already tagged you in it, so the people will know where to find you.
Beautiful, man. I appreciate that.
Right on, man. Thanks for joining us, Cyrus. Have a great night, dude.
All right. Thanks, Matt. See you, buddy.
Have a good one, dude. You know, it's funny, he said, you know, get out, learn your Brazilian and stuff, and I'm actually, I have to take, as part of my, you know, my mass communications degree at USF, I had to take two semesters of foreign language, and I'm going to be doing both semesters of Portuguese, two semesters of Portuguese, simply for that fact that because MMA is such a huge thing in Brazil and throughout most of the world, and really its base is in Brazil. Its base is, came, you know, all the sport was pretty much born in Brazil. I want to learn Portuguese simply for the fact of being able to potentially communicate with Brazilian Portuguese fighters and stuff and really understand the language a little bit and kind of dive a little bit deeper into the history of the sport and stuff. So I'm glad he said that. You know, people should – it's a cool language, you know, and it's such a beautiful sport that originated in a country so rich in the history of combat sports that – people should learn Portuguese, man. But we want to apologize there to Cyrus and to people listening. If we hope that what was going out over the radio wasn't the same complications that we were hearing. We were having issues with him cutting out. I believe I was cutting out. I don't think you could hear me at one point. But what it sounded like to me and Spencer, a good portion of the end of that was kind of really choppy. We surely hope that it wasn't like that for anybody listening. Cyrus has a lot of awesome stuff to say, and we're very excited to have him on the show here. So we hope that for anybody listening that you were able to get to hear everything he had to say. And I just wish Blog Talk would be able to figure their crap out because it's kind of annoying.
Blog Talk.
It's so annoying always having issues with Blog Talk. But it is what it is. Listen, we're going to take a minute, and we're going to play a quick song. Then we will come back and we'll just talk some stuff for a little bit until we're joined by Big Boy and Wesley. So I got a special song this week, man. I just loaded it up tonight. So here we go.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
This is my world.
Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed.
director, I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all your stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet, no surrender.
So it looks like we lost a couple minutes of that there, so we do apologize to everybody listening. We apologize to Cyrus, and I don't like Blog Talk Radio. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't like Blog Talk Radio. That really sucks, you know. Fortunately, it wasn't the whole interview lost. It looks like possibly just a couple minutes was lost, according to our VP of operations and of Mr. Skippy there. So luckily it's not all gone, but a couple minutes of that was lost, and we're very sorry to Cyrus for that, but we appreciate him being on the show. And now we got a few minutes. We're just going to just BS talk. I want to talk a little bit about Wesley Chapel Fight Night 5 that went down last Saturday night. It was a good night of fights. It was a short night of fights, less fights. You know, when you get to a fight card and there's supposed to be 7 fights, and then it ends up being 5 fights that go down, you know, under different circumstances, okay, but in this situation, we had, you know, with 7 fights on the card, 4 ladies' fights. 2 fights that ended up not happening were the first being Jessica Bronco out of ATT. I'm drawing a blank on which ATT she fights out of, but she's in South Florida, versus Ingrid Medrano, who fights out of AOL MMA in Wesley Chapel. And I want to say maybe 20, 30 minutes before their fight was supposed to happen, Jessica just decided she didn't want to fight. From what I am being told, from what I heard, she kind of just said, you know, I'm not sure that MMA is really my thing. I don't really want to do this fight, and I kind of just want to go. And she left. So, I don't know how to really word this too nicely. I'll just kind of say this. If you're not in 100%, you know what, if you're not in this 150%, you got to be dedicated to be an MMA fighter, plain and simple. This is not something, MMA fighting isn't just something you wake up one day and go be like, I'm going to be a fighter. You got to really dedicate yourself to it. You got to dedicate your life to it. It's a lifestyle. It's not just something you do on the weekends. It's not something you do for fun, you know. It's kind of BS. It's a puss move to agree to a fight, to go through all that stuff. You know, there's so much time you have to bail out of a fight if you don't want to fight. but like 20 minutes before your fight, you know, and she's fought before. I've seen her fight before. So I don't understand, you know, what the issue was, what happened, but just to bail on your fight like that, just kind of, it's not cool, man. It's really not cool. You got somebody like Ingrid Medrano who trains so hard and does so much, dedicates so much time to this and was really looking forward to getting out there and fighting in front of her home crowd, a lot of the AOL MMA family out there, and to have it go down like that, it's just not cool, man. So I don't know what the real reason is. You know, like I said, that's just what I was told, but, you know, I won't go by that being the solid truth. I know this. I know that for whatever reason she bailed, it just, it's not cool. But other than that, we had the Cheyenne Velasquez fight versus Stephanie Alba, another fight that got canceled, and, you know, the reasons there are kind of unknown. There's some talk, but it doesn't matter the reasons, you know. Fight didn't go down, but you know what? There were five great fights that did happen Saturday night. The main event, Frank Cisneros versus Mattia Fonda. Frank Cisneros, okay, this guy is an Olympic judo athlete. You know, the dude has superb strength and just unbelievable. And, you know, it was just crazy to see. He was able to pick up his opponent by the arm socket and judo throw this guy. How this guy's arm did not completely separate his shoulder, I don't even know. But he ends up getting an inverted guillotine, tapping him out quickly into the first round. A nice finish. Very successful and just methodical debut from Robin Wiseman. She looked great out there in the cage. The Bamboo Team Bamboo family was there in large numbers. I saw a lot of Team Bamboo fighters in the crowd cheering on Robin, and just the eruption in the crowd of applause when she won her fight was phenomenal. She wins by way of third-round TKO. Beautiful fight, man. She just did a great, great job. She dropped Brittany. Her opponent was Brittany Krasick. She dropped her in the third, and by Florida rules, the ref has to give a standing eight count. But see, she got right back up on her own, and therefore Josh Ruckers didn't stop the fight. He said, you know, continue fighting. She was able to stand up on her own. They kind of paused, looked at each other for a few minutes, and therefore Josh Ruckers let it keep going. They went back to action, and Robin quickly finished the fight. Beautiful shots right to the face, and he ends up stopping the fight with the two ladies still standing. She was just doing so much damage to her. So it was a good night of fights, and then they're looking forward to, I think, April for their next event. So it'll be very cool to see when that one comes together. Mike Yannis did a great job with the matchmaking. You know, it's AMI MMA. Fights drop all the time. You have fights come and go. Fights change on last minute, which Desiree Wilson and Mattia Fonda, who both fought on that card, stepped up and were replacements last minute. So big props to them. You know, they both lost, but it doesn't matter. It shows that you're a warrior by the fact that you step up on a late minute and you take a fight and you help save those fights, you know. So, you know, just big congrats and lots of respect to those two for stepping up last minute and taking those fights. And it just, you know, I know people keep saying it's AME MMA, and I get that. It's AME MMA, but I don't care what level of MMA it is. I don't care what level of sports it is, man. You don't back out on something while the event's going. And here's what I have to say to people who are saying it's AME, get over it. If you do this stuff in AME MMA, AME MMA exists to teach you how to be a professional so that when you turn into a professional fighter, you know how to handle yourself. You know how to go about business, and fighters and promoters will take you seriously. If you can't handle that in the amateurs, how are you ever going to develop into a proper professional fighter? Now, this is just my opinion. This does not reflect the opinions of the website, of the radio show, any of that. This is my opinion, but plain and simple, if you can't adhere to the rules and adhere to your word in the amateur ranks, I don't know what type of professional fighter you're going to make. So you've got to be able to get that stuff out of your system and commit yourself, or else you really shouldn't be doing this. So that's my opinion, man. But anyways, I don't know if you have anything that you wanted to cover, kind of talk about real quick. Well, we got about 10 minutes of time left. If not, we can get into this Nate Quarry thing, since this is news to me. I guess it's been out a little bit, but this is news to me. You got anything you wanted to say, or you want to give a coverage to? You got anything coming up there, Spencer?
Not for a while. I got a UVC 27 coming up. That's in March, mid-March. All I really have coming up is, for those of you who are big fitness buffs, you know, the Arnold Classic is coming around up here.
bunch of MMA fighters are going to be here from the UFC to Bellator to you name it, athletes from all around. I'll be at that, so look out for some pictures from that to see who all was there. But other than that, yeah, we can talk about the Nate Corey thing. I also want to talk about the press conference today between Cormier and Cummins.
Yeah, go ahead and jump into that. Let's go ahead and roll with that real quick, and we'll talk Nate Corey after that.
Yeah,
I didn't get to see it, so go ahead.
Daniel Cormier was supposed to fight Rashad Evans at UFC 170. That was co-main event, Rousey versus McMahon's the main event. Rashad had to drop out of the fight due to a knee injury. Patrick Cummins steps up. You should see the numbers, the betting odds. Huge, huge underdog, so if you want to make some money, possible money, something on that. But since then, they've been the UFC has been hyping up the beef between them back in the wrestling days, everything like that. And at first, it was all good. It was all fun. You could buy it. But it's getting over the top now. It's almost like bad acting. You can tell after this fight's over, these two are going to hug, and it's going to be all okay, no matter how it finishes. Unless somehow Cummins knocks him out. That's the only way I see it not being a happy ending. But Cormier
pushed
Cummins. Cummins got pushed by Cormier during the face-off after the press conference, which I have to say the press conference was just the dullest thing ever. everybody listening, tweet at Dana White, try to get Matthew and I out there to a press conference so we can actually ask decent questions, or even Skippy or somebody. because I know the people at Madhouse, at least we have some decent questions asked. These were just some awful questions, most boring press conference I've ever watched. But afterwards, like I said, Cormier shoves Cummins, and it just was all too much for me. You know sometimes the hatred's real. This one, I just can't buy it. I know some people are probably going to disagree with me. It's too much for me. I'm still excited about the fight. Not as much as I would have been excited for Cormier versus Evans.
Yeah, I'm going to be – I'm watching – I just watched the shove right now. It does look fake as hell, man. It looks so forced. It's like Dana said, all right, listen, come out here, get a little physical. I'm going to throw an extra $20 at you guys, all right? How about that? Because it does look so generic. Yo, but Cormier looks mad small, dude. I never seen this dude look that tiny, man. It's crazy how much weight he cut, and he's looking like I think he should – depending on how this fight goes, now I don't see any way that he loses this fight, but, you know, you never know, whatever. Anybody can win any day. Any given Sunday is what they always, you know, they always say for football, but any given fight day, anybody can win. So, but Cormier is looking like great shape, man. It's going to be a great fight. I really think, you know, he was a beast at heavyweight, undefeated at heavyweight, obviously, but I really think that light heavyweight is going to be just going to be where he destroys people, so.
Yeah, and If you haven't seen the proportion size, he did make the weight cut pretty good. I'm sure he has a few more pounds to shed before tomorrow during the weigh-in. But Cummins,
yeah.
Cummins is pretty big as far as comparison. But like you said, you can bet on it all you want. You could make some serious cash. But my real prediction is Cormier drags this out 3 rounds and just dominates the fight.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Cormier said something, what did I say? I rolled past it earlier today. Cormier said something like, a win over Patrick Cummins doesn't even get him any closer to a title fight.
Pretty much, but that's what's dangerous about the fight. Cormier has nothing to gain. Patrick Cummins has everything to gain. Nothing to lose.
Yeah, I still don't see, I don't see... With what you're saying, that Cormier has nothing to gain, I agree, but I don't see Cormier taking it lightly at all. I see Cormier going out there and handling work, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be the two main, you know, there's a couple good fights on this card. I think, what, on the prelims, you got Alexis Davis and Jessica Eye, if I'm not mistaken. I know that's a big fight. I don't have it in front of me. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, but the main event, obviously, Sarah McMahon and Ronda Rousey is going to be a big, going to be a big fight, so... a lot of people are really thinking that she's the one who could possibly take down Ronda. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, they're always saying that. They're always trying to plug the next big, like, oh, this is the person who's going to take down this. And As much as I don't like it, so far Ronda's been unbeatable, you know, and she's finished everybody the same way. So you cannot like it, which I really don't. I'd like to see somebody beat her, but at the same time, until somebody learns how to defend her armbar and be able to actually do something against her, then she's probably just going to keep beating people the same way. And why not, you know? Like, why the hell not? If you can do it, if you can get away with doing that against all your opponents, do it, you know? Why wouldn't you? You know, if they're not going to defend that, you know, as much as Misha tried to defend it, what happened? Misha ended up getting tapped out by armbar. You know, if Mike Goldberg were here, he'd be talking about how Ronda Rousey chokes out everybody, but he's not here, so I'm just going
to
choked out by a leg lock. He choked her out by an ankle lock. I mean, you know, until somebody can figure it out and stop it, I just see her continuing to tap people out by armbar. Hopefully McMahon can do something about that. Hopefully McMahon can at least defend against the armbar. If Rousey beats McMahon, I would hope at least McMahon is smart enough to not let it be by armbar, but we'll see what happens. I think those are going to make for a couple.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I think, I don't have a prediction on who's going to win yet, but I think it's going to be a decision. I don't think McMahon's going to get armbarred. I think it's going to be a decision.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to see, man. A couple good fights on the card. I'm going to be honest, this isn't like a buy a pay-per-view card by any means. This is more of a find somewhere to go watch it for $10 and buy some wings and some beer or something. This is not one of those cards that you buy the pay-per-views. It's just kind of weak, and I think UFC's doing that themselves. But it's whatever. It'll be some make for a couple good fights on the card, hopefully better than their last weekend's events. But anyways, real quick before we jump in with Big Boy and with Wesley, this Nate Quarry thing real quick. I saw this today, and I thought that in no way was it surprising. I don't think you can be surprised at all how the UFC handles business. They handle business the way they do, and I think they're fairly open and honest about that. But I saw some of this stuff, you know, it's just crazy that they, you know, saying, you know, you can't thank your sponsors and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, and fighters have such a hard time getting sponsors like this guy. I know Mac Danzig, I think it was, somebody else just a few events ago, just a couple months back, couldn't get any sponsors. And it's like, well, look at why, when the UFC's charging this and telling you got to do this and jump through all these holes and give this money to this person and blah, blah, blah. When they got to go through all that, why do sponsors want to go through that mess, you know? You have Intimidation Clothing. They were a longtime sponsor of Jessica Eye, but now that Jessica's in the UFC, they can't afford a sponsor. It's just it's ridiculous to have to pay that much money to the promotion to have your logo on your fighter's shorts. It's just unbelievable, and I think that's bogus. But
that's exactly what Luke was talking about on the show, as you said earlier to me, Matthew. It's ridiculous. No sponsor is going to want to go through all of this stuff.
No, definitely.
Just to get to sponsor a fighter, yeah, it's not worth it at all.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's ridiculous, you know. And then I'm seeing here. I'll post this on our Facebook page. But Lorenzo actually responded, I guess, to Nate's remarks, and didn't. Kind of disputed it a little bit, which I'm obviously, it's no surprise. I'll be interested to see if Dana hasn't said anything, what he says about it, because he didn't really come out so much and just rip the UFC, because he said he was super grateful for all that they did for him, you know, so he didn't come out and just rip the UFC, but I think he exposed some stuff that the UFC probably would have rather not. But anyways, whatever. We're done with that. That's enough UFC talk. We're going to jump in here and talk some RFC 30. I'm going to go ahead and jump behind the scenes, give Big Boy a call. We'll talk with him for a minute, and then Spencer will give Wesley a call, and we'll talk to the both of these guys, and we'll hear a little bit of some Tampa versus Miami RFC Turf Wars talk. So let me go ahead and give Big Boy a call.
All right, what Matthew does that, I just want to run down real fast Cage Warriors 64, which happened last week, February 15th. In London, England, Corey Tate in the main event, defeating James Pennington by guillotine. That only lasted 2 minutes and 35 seconds in the first round. In the co-main event, Jake Bostwick defeated Bobakar Balde by unanimous decision. That was Cage Warriors 64 last week. And this week,
not just UFC. There's also a Legacy Fighting Championship 28 fight card. That's tomorrow night on Access TV. Remember a few episodes ago I was talking about how Access TV hasn't had a card in a while. Well, they finally are coming back. Demacio Page is fighting on the card. Who else? Damon Jackson, William Bush, Roger Nevarez. It's going to be a good card. Check it out tomorrow night on Access TV. That's coming to you from College Park Center in Arlington, Texas. Matthew's going to get Big Boy on the line with us. And as Matthew said, this event is really Miami versus Tampa. If you're listening down in that area, you want to see this because you're going to see who has the better fighters, at least for the time being. It's going to be good. There's some grudges here, and you don't want to miss it.
We ready to go? I'm back with Chris Big Boy. We're going to start rolling. We got Chris Big Boy on the phone with us now, Mr. the right-hand man, second in charge of the RFC, the guy that handles all the dirty work, gets down in the trenches and gets these fighters ready to go. Big Boy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I think I would right now, I would explain my job title as one of Joe's Wonkas. One of the little Willy Wonka's Wonkas guys. One of the little
Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, I'm an Oompa Loompa because I'm running around doing everything. We're working it. We're doing all kinds of stuff. But listen, not even more important is this Turf Wars that's coming next weekend. Matt, this card is going to be crazy, not to mention the five Miami versus Tampa bouts we have, but some of the other bouts that we got coming on. Dervin Lopez's opponent, we got a new opponent for him, Dan Bolden, he's out of Champions MMA. So we got Dervin on the card.
Yeah, he's out of, he does like the boxing and stuff out at Ross's school, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, it's a good, cool thing, Dan. Dan took this fight on 2 weeks' notice. You know, these guys are a brotherhood here, and they know when someone trains for a fight that, you know, that sometimes you might have to step up. And hats off to Dan Bolden, man, with Champions, for staying in shape and fight ready for us, and that's awesome. But let's get on to what's hot and what's selling the tickets right now. Let's talk about these Miami versus Tampa fights. All right, the first one that I'm going to bring up, okay, is the lower one. It's Ryan Seals, okay, he's fighting out of SPMF. All right, he's fighting out of St. Pete, so it's really more like a St. Pete versus Miami thing. But he's going to be fighting Arvin Ace, and I might butcher his name, but it looks like Panlis Gi. He's out of Dragons Martial Arts with Steven Trago down there. If you remember Jenny Phoenix, that's the same camp down there.
Yep,
so those two are, it's kind of a, you know, that's going to be a good fight for them. Arvin's making his pro debut. Ryan Seals is 1-3, so that's one that's not really one of our high-profile Miami Turf War fights, but it's one of them. So, but the one that we can start talking about, let's kick it off with Paul Ferro and Paulo Silva.
All right, let's talk real quick before we get into those. We're trying to get Wesley on the line now. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of the other fights first. We'll wait for to get on. We'll do that. So, go ahead and talk about a couple of the other fights.
Cool. Let's talk about Dave Nemore. Everybody knows Dave Nemore, Champions MMA. Awesome career as an amateur. Struggled with some good fights. He's got a great winning record, and he's going to be making his pro debut against another pro debut, Sean Fields, out of ATT Cape Coral. You know both those guys, Matt, so that's going to be a tough fight.
Yeah. All right, we do have Wesley on the phone with us now. Wesley, thank you for joining us, man.
How's it going, fellas?
Doing very good, man. We appreciate you being with us here tonight. Now that we got you on the phone, let's go ahead. We'll jump in and we'll do these Tampa versus Miami, the kind of the center of RFC 30 Turf Wars. Big Boy, why don't you intro each fight, and from there we'll talk a couple minutes on each fight.
All right, what's up, Wes?
Hey, how you doing, Big Boy?
Oh, man, working like a – well, I'm working. Anyways, let's talk about this one first. I'll bring up a good one. I'm going to bring up Paul the One Barrel versus our boy Paulo Bello Silva. All right, my teams are over here. These guys in Tampa, man, I've actually been with Paul for a long time. He was in one of my original teams. We fought on the same night. The kid is just amazingly tough. He's a Bellator vet. He's training harder than I've ever seen the kid train. I think this is one of the best opportunities for him. And I'm looking, you know, I how I feel, but this Paulo Silva kid's not a bad-looking kid either on paper, so this is going to be a tough fight. What do you think, Wes?
I think your guy, you know, he's coming from a loss. He's had a pretty good layoff, so I'm sure he's had some work. He seems like a grappler who favors decisions. This guy that he's going against guy's a little beast as far as who he trains with. He's an active manager, and if you do your homework, there's nothing but champs over there. These guys got belts from different different leagues, different organizations. They're sending people to the UFC left and right. They're in World Series of Fighting. So this kid trains with a bunch of badasses over there, and he's on a 3-win streak. So I'm very curious to see this. I'm not trying to be biased. I'm definitely favoring you know, our guy as far as Will Silva. But, you know, let's see where it goes. I think it's probably going to be a submission match, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with you. Paul's over here with these Team Dark Side, and these guys, they're well-rounded fighters. They're probably the best team that I've ever seen as far as loyalty and that. But like you said, he's coming off of a loss. You know, he's in a smaller show now, so maybe there's going to be a little bit less pressure. And I agree with you, Wes. I think it's going to be a submission or a grappling match. But hey, who knows? Maybe Matt will know the secret, right, Matt?
Yeah. Before we move on to the next fight, I do got to say, I got to add my – from my experience watching Team Darkside, I don't know of a team that works at the level and the hardest and the loyalty. I'm not saying there's nobody else out there. I'm not saying like that. But from my personal experience of what I've seen, Team Darkside's one of the best teams that I've seen out there. And I know that they don't bring anything less than their absolute best every time they're in the cage. So I know that if their opponents are matching what they're bringing in the cage, we're seeing historic fights here because these Team Darkside guys, are top-notch guys, headed up by a great coach, Defiant Daniels. So I'm excited to see what they're going to bring to the cage as well as what their opponents from the Miami area are going to bring to the cage because I think that, if they're anywhere near the level that the Darkside guys are, we're looking at some phenomenal fights.
Definitely,
it's going to be a war. All right, next on the list, let's go with – I think Wes was fighting at the bit to get me to write this one down, but let's go Gilbert Burgos. Chino Duran. Now, I've known Gil just like I've known Paul. We came from the same school in the original time, and this kid is a tough, tough kid. In this fight, a lot of people are seeing Chino Duran. They're thinking, oh, wrestle. But listen, let me tell you something about Gil. Gil's not a bad wrestler himself. So I think this fight is another one that's going to be a war. Chino, great fighter. Gil, great fighter. Both of them have a lot of fights, and they're vets. Man, another war. Wes.
I don't know. I did my research, okay, and Gil seems like almost all his matches have ended in submissions or decisions. He averages really decisions, but he's had some submissions too. So he seems more like a wrestler, ground and pounder. I haven't seen no footage. I can't, you know, go past more than that as far as the information that I've gotten, the studies that I've done. Now, Chino, his only losses have came at 145. Chino's a guy who was basically fighting just to fight. He didn't have enough formal training in the beginning of his career. He didn't have the right guidance in the beginning of his career. Now he's switched all that up. He's at 135. He's fast. I actually helped train him. This guy's jumping from camp to camp. He's training with ATT. He's training at MMA Masters. He's training at FFA, and he's doing private lessons with me as well. He's really getting a lot of angles. And a lot of times when you get two wrestlers, because I know that Burgos is a good wrestler, when you get two wrestlers, they wash each other off, and it ends up being a banger, and they end up fighting. And I actually think that Chino's got the better stand-up, but, hey, we definitely have to see. But I think that these wrestlers are going to end up banging, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Chino's got a win against Chris Holder with a TKO in the RFC back in 2000, so, you know.
Yeah, you're right. He is a veteran. He's a veteran of you guys' league. That's definitely true.
All right. Matt, what do you think about that bout?
I would have to agree. I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about either fighter. I know a little bit about the guys. So I would have to say that kind of agree with bits of what both of you guys said.
Yeah, it's going to be a war. Definitely going to be a war. Gil, coming from Gracie Tampa, jiu-jitsu, Chino, pedigree wrestler. Hey, it's going to be tough. Now, let's go to the next one. I know we don't have much time. I'm trying to get these all figured out. Let's go with the main event of the night. All right, you know what? No, I just figured something out. Joe Johnson's a Miami guy, too, and he's fighting Ronnie Phillips. So Ronnie Phillips is just south of the Bay, and he's a Tampa boy, so he's closer to the Bay than Miami, so it's going to be a Tampa turf war right there with Ronnie the Pit Phillips against Joe Hunter Johnson.
I think this one, I mean, this should be just because of what's on paper. Ronnie should be the favorite. It hands down, he should. He's got two TKOs. I mean, both his fighters, 1-1. I think one of them is actually on your card, Sean Hollis.
Yeah.
Seems like a decent guy. He, you know, but he hasn't fought since your boy dropped him. And then Jason Fan was his last opponent, and he hasn't fought since. Nonetheless, 2-0, he looks good. I saw some clips on him. He looks very good. Joe Johnson, I mean, let's be honest. He doesn't look like a huge, promising fighter. He's 2-6. He's got 4 losses in his last 5 fights. He just got KO'd, June of 2013. He's got a lot to prove. I hope somebody's worked with him technically. I do not know the guy. I have not seen him train. I'm not familiar with him at all. So I hope he's definitely tightened up. I hope he's not one of these guys who's just trying to get in there just to get in there. But I would say that, yeah, you're supposed to be favored. And if he keeps it technical and does what he looks good doing, he should pull the win. Joe Johnson, the nickname's the puncher. Well, hey, he's got a puncher's chance, so let's see.
Yeah. You know, Ronnie, this kid, every day we have a meeting, you know, and me and Joe talk about things. And Joe Valdez really has high things about, talks highly about Ronnie Phillips and his coaches, Robbie and the guys over there, Wolfpack Englewood and Port Charlotte. Those guys, I mean, they're beasts. I mean, and this kid Ronnie, as a matter of fact, both the guys that he's won against are fighting each other, Jason Fan and Sean Hollis. I'm really excited for this kid, and I'm really excited to feature him in the RFC, and I'm really going to make him a poster child of the RFC. So I agree with you. So last but not least, I think it's last. I might have to look on my card. Gian La Polga Herrera versus your boy Josh the Fireball Mercado. Listen, you got the flea versus the fireball.
The flea. Okay, Gian, I'm not taking anything away from him. The guy looks pretty decent, okay? He definitely does. Here, I got my notes. He fought once every year. His last fight was in July of 13 against Mitchell, who happens to be a friend of ours, by the way. He's a friend of the Fireball, and we've spoken to him. We've gotten our inside scoop and everything else. Mitchell, hey, you know everybody has an excuse of some shape or form for losing a fight, or even winning a fight and not performing up to par. Mitchell was actually, according to him, very sick, cut weight really bad, so on and so forth. And he really didn't look that good in that fight. I did see the fight. It's the only video that I've seen on GN. And, again, I'm not trying to talk nonsense about him because Josh is my guy. Like, he's literally my guy. That's my prodigy. That he, you know, he's been with me for the last year strong. He was a different camp, but he's been with me a year strong. You guys have not seen it, and you will, and I promise you, you will. And this is not a bunch of BS. This is not being biased. You're going to see a little animal. You're going to see something that, in my opinion, is just way too fast for GN. His wrestling is great. His jiu-jitsu is great. I just feel like La Puga, he's too limited to a little bit of brute strength wrestling, not even a collegiate-type, very, you know, elusive freestyle wrestling, more of a just hands-down, go get in there and grind it out type wrestler. And that just doesn't work with the Fireball. And the Fireball is just, he's going to show you guys a lot of dynamic strikes. He's going to show you how good his wrestling is. He's going to make GN try to chase him a lot. And I don't think he's got the cardio or the speed to just put up with the Fireball.
Yeah, this fight is, this matchup here is an amazing matchup. I think this is a test for both of these guys. Fireball is 5-2, so he knows what it feels like to lose. Gian is 5-0. He's undefeated, you know. Fireball's coming off a loss. Gian's coming off a win. Both of these guys are hungry. Gian's retaining a title. They're retaining the title. He's going to be defending it, I mean. And it's
right.
A tough – it's going to be a great fight for him. He's a young fighter. Man, I love this kid. The kid is my friend. He's probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life as far as my friend goes. And I know that Josh is your boy, and I'm not even going to pick a winner on this fight because it's going to be such an amazing fight that fight of the night is going to this one, I think. Everything is going to
for
be the
sure.
best fight. And I can't
yes.
even pick a winner on this one, brother. I mean, I would love to. Gian's one of my best friends in the whole world. But you know what? This is a fight. I'm a matchmaker now. You know what I mean? I'm a professional now, so I have to.
If you were to try your best not to be biased, and we were to go by, I don't want to say so much stats, but let's say training partners. You know, Matt was talking very well about Gian's camp.
I know everyone.
You know,
very good.
They sound like a over there. They really do, and I can't take anything away from that. Mercado, Josh. Alexis Vila, I don't know if you guys know the names here in Miami. Alexis Vila, Olympic medalist, 2-time Olympic medalist, Cuban wrestler, okay? Josh works his wrestling in wrestling, by the way. Josh works his wrestling hands. Mike Rio, UFC veteran, who you guys know of, collegiate wrestler, 2-time champion. He works with him all the time. Chino Duran, who we already spoke of, again, another 2-time champion in high school and in college. He works with wrestling with him. Alex Caceres, Bruce Leroy from the UFC, who just got who just beat top contender Pettis, Anthony Pettis' brother. He works for him. These are all boys from ATT Kendall. This kid's working with elite guys, and you throw in his fast, his speed, his explosiveness. I just honestly think, I know it sounds like I'm trying to stick up for my boy, and by the way, I saw an interview with Gian, and he does seem like a great guy, exactly like what you said. I can just tell he's one of those real humble, cool dudes, so it's not taking anything away. I just don't know that I've seen enough to be impressed with, like, hey, man, Gian's really stepping it up, and maybe Josh, you know. I guess we'll see, obviously. But definitely fighting tonight.
I have to say, my decision at the end of the day, I would vary over to Gian just because he's not coming off a loss, but also – this is a stepping stone for Mercado coming off a loss, like it is for most fighters. I did miss one, guys. So let's get this last one in, otherwise these dudes will kill me.
Let me interject real quick. I do want to give input on this fight. My thought is Gian Herrera is like 9-0, right? No one's ever been able to defeat this guy. I don't know Josh at all. I've seen a little bit on him online, but I don't know him personally in any way, whereas I do have a decent relationship with Gian. Josh, having two losses on that professional record. I don't know about his amateur record, but the fact that he has been proven to be beaten, and Gian, so far, nobody's been able to beat the guy, that to me tells that going into this fight, it's in Gian's favor. Now, earlier on the show, I did say any fighter can win and any fighter can lose any time, so you never know what's going to happen. But Gian is just, I think, one of the most well-rounded 125ers in the sport, let alone on a local scene. This guy is just so well-rounded. And if Mitchell, and I know Mitchell very well. I talk with Mitchell all the time. I've covered a few of their events, and I got a good relationship with Mitchell. If he was, for whatever reason, sick or anything, to me, that was one of the best fights I've ever seen in person with Gian versus Mitchell. The first round alone was probably the best round of MMA I've ever watched. The action, the nonstop fight and aggression between those two guys was just phenomenal. It was an amazing fight. So I really thought that both guys brought their best that night, and I thought that was the biggest test for Gian to date, and he came out victorious. And so, like I said, I don't know Josh on a personal level, but I do have to, I do think that Gian is kind of on another level right now. Now, Josh may prove me wrong. I don't know. You know, like I said, you never know what happens. And this guy, I know Alexis Vila a little bit. We've had him on the show, seen him fight. So hearing some of the names of the guys he's training with, that's awesome. I think that, as you said, Big Boy, this could very well be fight of the night, which is going to be hard to pick because this is a stacked card. And I do want to say one thing on Ronnie Phillips. Ronnie Phillips knocked out both Jason Fan and Sean Hollis, which is in itself an amazing feat because those are some big, nasty dudes. Nightmare Hollis is just one straight nasty monster, and Ronnie Phillips put him down, you know. So I think that I did want to just add that that right there is going to be a good fight, Ronnie Phillips and Joe Puncher Johnson. But I got to I don't say this being partial to Gian. Like I said, I have a good relationship with Gian. I just think as a fighter, this dude's just insane. But like I said, I don't know Josh, and I haven't really seen his fights before. I just know a little bit about him online. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring and test Gian, because I feel like no matter how good somebody might be, if they're not being tested or pushed, then they're not going to get better. And I do believe that Josh Mercado is going to push Gian, going to test him, and going to raise both their fight games to another level.
I'm excited.
All right, so the last one.
Go on, Big Boy.
Your favorite person in the whole world, one of my favorite guys, one of my favorite jiu-jitsu guys, one of my favorite referees at all the events, Jose Laguiller. All right, he's fighting Marcos El Conquistador, and I'll probably butcher this name. I'm not good at him. Moreira? Hit me with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well,
right?
double L is always the Y sound when you see that Hispanic name like that.
So how do I say it?
Llorera.
Llorera. Okay. These guys here, this is going to be a great fight. They've been trash-talking back and forth. Both of them, great pedigree grappling. Jose, friend of all of ours here in Tampa, one of the best referees in the Copas and the Nagas.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
The guy is just, he's a heart for the sport. He actually comes over every now and then and teaches my kids. When I seen him a few months out before the fight, I was wondering, is he going to make weight? You know, I was like, oh, my God. But then about 2 weeks ago, he came and sparred and trained with us, and I was like, my God, you're working hard, ain't you, boy? You know, and Jose, man, listen, this kid, he don't stop. Like, this guy can be, you could think he's tired, but his pace keeps going and going and going. The sweat keeps dripping, and he pushes and pushes and pushes. Now he's fighting a guy that's 1-0, okay? And from what I understand, this is one of the only guys on the card that I haven't really researched or looked around because he was 1-0, and I really want him to prove to me on this fight. But he's fighting a tough kid, and I want you, Wes, to tell me a little bit about this guy, Marcos, please.
Okay, the kid is young, and he's jobless, trains twice a day, literally, 5 days a week. I mean, he's a real...
We just lost him.
All right, we lost Wes, but you heard what he was saying. He's talking big about a kid. The kid that's coming into the pro 1-0, you know, and he's young and he's jobless. Matt, you know as well as I do, he's got a lot to prove, and he's going to have a lot to prove against Jose.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a tough fight, and I think Jose's been waiting for this. He's been trying to get on a card for us for a few times now. It's a 2-1 fighter right now. This is a great turning point for this kid. He's another one I want to feature in RFC. You know, he's just a great guy, and he's very marketable, and everyone likes him, you know. So,
he comes out of that great school, Champions MMA with Ross Kellen, and that speaks for itself right there.
That's right. Let me just fill in the rest of the card. You want to hear the rest of the card real quick?
Absolutely, man. You got a couple minutes. Go for it.
All right, cool. Let's start out with Dave Mundell, okay?
Making that pro debut finally.
Got knocked out pretty bad in his last world-class fight league fight, so he is ready to go pro. I seen him a couple weeks ago. The kid looks healthy. He looks amazing. He's amped. He's fighting Jeremy Cook. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Jeremy Cook the one that Durbin fought, right?
That sounds right. Let me pull it up.
So Jeremy's a wrestler. So Dave's a wrestler, too. So you know what? This is going to be an exciting fight right here as well. So both these guys, Jeremy coming off of his loss on his pro debut, Dave making his pro debut, it's going to be tough. Let's go. I know Ladarius
Big
Jackson.
Boy.
Right? Yep, he's back.
I'm back now.
Thank you, man. I thought I won the fight already, bro.
Ah, come on, Tampa guy. So listen, so Marcos, okay, he trains at ATT. He's training there twice a week. The minute Joe called me and we started, you know, working together on getting this whole Miami versus Tampa thing, you know, Marcos was one of the guys that I reached for. And, you know, Joe told me, hey, you know, make sure you give me somebody good, because he spoke very highly of Jose. And he said, look, this guy's a great grappler. I don't want somebody that he's just going to walk through. That's one great thing that I love, appreciate about Joe. He's not trying to make easy fights. He's not trying to feed somebody a win. And that's what's really good. Like Matt said, you know, these guys are going to get better. They need to go against good guys. So, you know, I got Marcos, and I said, listen, Marcos, I know your stand-up's legit. I know it's good. I banged with the kid. He actually gave me a bloody nose. Work on your grappling. Just make sure your grappling is tight. And the word is, and I've gone over there, and I've spoken to Alexis Bila, they just have been dish-ragging this kid left and right all the time, working on jiu-jitsu and wrestling, and he's doing it because he's a tall kid. Even though he's fighting 155, he walks around at 175, 180, shredded, like he's in really good shape. And he's going against Yoel Romero, guys. The UFC guy who just knocked out, he's talking. He's an Olympic medalist in wrestling, again, for Cuba. So this guy's, you know, kicking his ass every day in wrestling. They're kicking his ass in jiu-jitsu. They're making sure he is up and running. He's not worried about the stand-up part at all. So when I tell you that I'm expecting a lot from this dude, I got high hopes. I'm not going to just totally jump on the bandwagon, but I have high hopes. I think he's really going to bring it. And I think what's kind of his favor is, your guy hasn't fought since July 27, 2012, unless that's a misprint on ShareDog. That's a pretty good layoff right there.
That is accurate.
That's accurate, yeah. But this kid, you know, Jose, he's constantly competing in grappling tournaments from his division to absolute. If he's in an absolute division, and even if he doesn't want to compete, Ross probably throws him in there. You know that. You know? So he's been competing in jiu-jitsu, but, again, it's not MMA. And I like the fact that the kid, you told me about the kid Marcos, that he doesn't have a job. He's living, you know, out of the gym kind of thing. That's how I am. That's how I was. So I like him, too. This is going to be a great fight. I'm ecstatic about it. Real quick, Wes, I want to ask you about somebody. Do you know this kid Arvin Ace Penlisky from Dragon Martial Arts, Stephen Trotter?
You know what? I actually met him through Josh. He actually had about 3 training sessions with us. The kid is super, super good at jiu-jitsu. His stand-up was nice. He had to crisp it up a little bit, but it was definitely very decent, and that's what he was focused on. He just great kicks, great punches, just had to work on the head movement and the footwork. That was basically what he had, the techniques. You know, he's a black belt, so technique, he knows the importance of technique, and it's there. So, and this was, man, this was 3 months ago when all this happened. So he's had a good 3 months to work on that. Yeah. I know that's all he's been focused on. So, you know what, I'm having high hopes for this kid. I think he can be a very good fighter. The jits game is there. Let's see if he puts it together with the stand-up. And I think he's got a decent amateur background, too. I think he's 3-2, maybe 4-1, somewhere around there. So,
yeah, he's
4-1,
yeah. I've been scouting
okay,
for about 6 months. He's fighting Ryan Seals, and I've heard the same thing. Somebody told me he's the MMA Pacquiao. So I'm looking forward to seeing this kid. He comes from a great camp. Stephen Trago, Jenny Silver, Phoenix or Silver Arrow, and Joe Billingsley, they got tough fighters. So that's it. That's what we got for the Miami Turf Wars versus Tampa. Bro, you guys are going to come up here, and I guess we'll just – y'all have to party with me afterwards, man, you know, because
– Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm looking forward to it. I got nothing but love for Tampa. I've been there so many times. I love the atmosphere, the weather, the ocean, everything, the people there, really down to earth. I'm looking forward to the whole event. Everybody is. It's all love. You know, we're going to go to war, but it's just in the cage. And I'm looking forward to the whole weekend, man. I'm ecstatic about it. I really think it's going to be an epic event, and I'm sure that everybody's going to see that for sure.
Lap dances on Matt Spencer.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you one thing. I ask you each both the same question. What about your fighters, Miami versus Tampa, for each of you? What makes the Miami fighters better than the Tampa fighters and vice versa?
I'll go first.
Go right ahead.
All right. The thing with these boys here in Tampa is that we've all been in this group for a long time. Each one of these fighters that are fighting for us here in Tampa and representing this city has been a part of this circle of MMA for at least 5 years. These guys have trained hard throughout the 5 years. We've all been friends. We've fought against each other. We've competed against each other. But the best thing about it is that during this time, we've all come together. We've come together as a team, even that we're from different camps and everything, but we've come together as a team to get ready for these guys coming up from the 305. Because one thing about it, we win fights. And that's it's just a fact. I mean, everybody we send to Miami comes back with a win. Jay Lee, Durbin, and you know what? Now we're at home. So it's in our home field advantage. So it's going to be a little bit different. But I have all the respect for the Miami guys. But I'm a Tampa boy born and raised, so you already know what's up. And let's not talk about the Bucks there, Wes.
Yeah, because your guys got lucky as hell and beat our Dolphins this last season. Listen, the reason that I think you're right. Let's leave it alone. Next season for
lucky.
Sure. Listen, the reason I favor our boys is because of this. I like what you said. I like the camaraderie. I like everything you said, and that's definitely important as far as, you know, that brotherhood. I'm always posting on Instagram, MMA Brotherhood, and I do that anytime I shout out any other gym, whether we banged it out, whether it doesn't matter. You know, MMA Brotherhood, we're all the same. It takes a lot to do what we do. It just takes a lot, and people don't understand it unless they do it. But what I really think it boils down to it is the facts, and this is no disrespect to your guys at all. Definitely this event will show something. But I think that the facts are our population, our numbers are simply proving that we have more people here, and more people brings more talent, and more talent means a plethora of fighters. And I think when you put that in the mix, you have so many badass guys over here that unless you're a deadbeat, unless you don't have the right guidance, unless you're not taking this seriously, I almost cursed, unless you're not taking this seriously, you know, these guys are becoming just – brutal. They're all becoming lethal. I mean, there's a lot of UFC guys or UFC bound guys coming from Miami. You know, you mentioned those two guys who came down here and they beat the guys in CFA. Yeah, I looked those up. Come on, they didn't beat nobody impressive. I mean, it wasn't a great thing. Please don't make me go there. But I just think that these guys, and from a competition level, they're going against each other. You know, they might not have the camaraderie that you guys have. I admit that, like straight up. But that actually makes them better. You know, sometimes we go to different gyms. And these guys are like, oh, they're from another gym, and that's so-and-so, that's Fireball. He thinks he's a little badass. I want you to put it on him. So these guys bang out. These guys give their best, which can cause injuries, but it can also bring the best out of you. It takes you to a whole nother level. And I think that that's what's making these guys bring a whole lot more to the table over there. And if I can go there, I think you guys are very, very much too focused on ground wrestling, jiu-jitsu. I don't think Tampa is up there in the striking echelon of the whole tier. So I think that's where we succeed a little bit more. Guess we'll have to see, obviously.
I zoned you out after that. Got lucky, went beat the Dolphins thing. So I really don't know what you say after that. That's when I stopped paying attention. But listen, I do got to cut
you guys
off.
You guys were like 3-8. You were 3-8 when you were going against us, and everybody
expected
us to win,
and
you beat us.
Exactly, and yet we were able to beat down on the Dolphins. That's how pathetic
Miami
Dolphins were, man. That's how
sad
the Dolphins were.
All right, it's not
Jonathan Martin hurt us.
Neither one of you guys made the playoffs. Let me finish my job real quick, and then I can get out of here. Listen, RFC 30, February 28th, we got to thank our sponsors, Anthony Gonzalez Jr., Burton Gonzalez, Pro Way Recycling, No Judges Needed. All right, that's the sponsors I got to thank. My boss is making me do it, Tigers World Tampa. But listen, I can't wait to see you guys next week. I am going to be busy next week. And, Wes, I hope your trip and everything is safe. Matt, thank you so much for the time tonight. And you guys are the bomb.
Yeah,
guys,
thank
it's
you
been
guys
an
both.
Honor, man. Thank you.
Thank both of you guys for joining us. It was a lot of fun. Wesley, I do have business to take up with you when I see you next week after that Bucks comment. I'm not going to let that one go. But,
I'm all for it, brother. We'll do it over some shots, man, whatever.
There we go, man. Listen, thank you guys for joining us tonight. It was an awesome interview. We'll see you guys next week, RFC 30, February 28th, A La Carte Pavilion, Tampa, Florida. You gentlemen have a great night, all right?
God Likewise, bless. Fellas. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Right on. That's Chris Big Boy from the RFC and Wesley Cantillo. Coming out of Miami, Florida, representing some of the guys down there. Just want to thank both of those guys for joining us. Once again, as I said, RFC 30 Turf Wars going down next Friday, February 28th, at the A La Carte Pavilion. Doors open at 6 p.m. The fights will kick off roughly about 7 p.m. RFC is usually right on time, so don't be late. Get there early. Hang out. You can see some of the fighters floating around if you're there early enough. You know, it's cool to kind of interact with the guys beforehand if you get the chance, but it's going to be an awesome night. I can guarantee it's going to be a sold-out night. Get your tickets ahead of time. You do not want to wait on your tickets for them. I do believe we ran a little bit over there, so we're going to go ahead and just jump right in here. We're joined by Danny Matos, who will be fighting, defending his 145-pound title at WCFL 8, undisputed, next weekend. Danny, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Doing very good, Danny. Listen, thank you for joining us, man. Got to see you fight a couple times, and looking forward to this fight. This is probably, I'm going to say this, I think your biggest fight to date. You're facing Luis Sicaro, who's dropping down, who's vacating his 155-pound belt and dropping down to 145 to face you. How are you feeling about the fight, and what do you think of Luis going into this fight?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about the fight. You know, that's what the training camp, you know, supplied by my coaches as, you know, prepares me for to get ready for the fight. And I have the utmost respect for Luis. And I think he's a good fighter. You know, and he's coming down from the 155, and he's a champ at that division as well. So, you know, it's not something you should, you know, I'm not taking it lightly. Like, I normally never do any fight. I always have the utmost respect for all of my opponents, and, you know, I'm honored that, you know, he's allowing me to fight him. It's like, you know, once I saw, like, the post of him dropping down to 145, I just had, like a rush of ecstasy saying, like, you know, that's my opponent. And I felt it, so, you know, and it ended up happening, so it's going to be a really good fight.
Right on, man. And now this is going to be probably WCFL's biggest card to date. You fought for WCFL a couple times, you know, returning vet to the cage. How has that experience been for you to fight for such a professional-level amateur promotion?
It's been really good. I mean, I enjoy their shows. I mean, they always have, like, some popular fights going on. They're always really good fights. And I enjoy their venues and everything like that. You know, they're, like, pretty much kind of the best organizations I've ever been able to fight for. And, you know, them being awarded, you know, best Florida MMA, amateur MMA sanctioning is you know, this stage is really good. And I mean, it's a great environment. It actually, you know, brings forth what they're talking. You know, it's not just, oh, come out here, you know, we have the best show around. They actually distribute what they're trying to sell. And it's, you know, a fantastic show, a fantastic venue, and their dedication to the fight and their matchmaking to the fight is really good. And I give it to them, and I really enjoy being on their cards.
Now, you train out of, you know what, I'm drawing a blank. If I'm not mistaken, you train out of one of the Gracie Tampa schools, is that correct?
Yes, I've trained at the Gracie Tampa South under Matthew Arroyo.
Now, talk a little bit about your fight camp or your team there. If I'm not mistaken, Terry Janowski fights out of there with you guys too, does he not?
Yes, he does.
Now, he's fighting on this card too. He's got a title shot on this card. So, what are you guys doing there at your school in order to put yourselves in such great positions and get yourself such big fights here on the amateur level?
Oh, my God, man. It's like, where do we start? I mean, Master Matt Arroyo, he's just, like, the man, he knows how to take care of his fighters. Like, he's always doing something different, always a scenario. You know, we have our Muay Thai coach, Coach Eric Parker, and Coach Bill Slinker. Man, they bring tons and tons of years of experience to the table. You know, boxing coaches, Kevin Gallagher, you know, and our MMA coach, Coach Jeff Bailey, who used to fight in the RFC as well as a professional. And, you know, we have our coach, Adam Cantor, like our D1 Olympic alternate wrestling coach. And, you know, we brought visitors, like, you know, we get like Matt Hamill comes in and wrestles and spars with us. We had Thiago Silva, Dean Thomas, you know, all these big UFC names. Even Master Matt himself comes in and spars, and, you know, he plays around with us. And, like, he just puts us through such a grueling fight as well. I mean, we got Troy Gearhart, our pro fighters. He's at 145 as well. You know, he's fought in Bellator. You know, he's fighting pretty much all over. Billy Quarantello, who's our pro fighter as well. Fight Time, RFC, I mean, and, you know, and tons more. Like, you know, we had Jared Warren, you know, Martin Trey Brown comes in, you know, and comes in with us, Dave Mundell, like all these really, really good fighters. And, you know, Master Matt's always taking care of us. It's like we don't have to worry about, you know, how our training is going to be. And honestly, it's because he teaches us all the insight we need, and he brings in whatever's necessary for us to succeed. And, you know, not to mention the grueling fight camps he puts us through. He just doesn't, you know, just throw us in the spar for, you know, this amount of times a week. I mean, he picks, like, cardio sessions through, like, you know, CrossFit gyms, and he picks all, you know, he does our BJJ work, and then, you know, Coach Eric Parks does our Muay Thai. We spar ourselves. He brings visitors. We'll have, like, you know, wrestling day, defend a takedown day. We'll have our stand-up training. Then we'll have our MMA. All this stuff we build into one so we can all, you know, when they become complete fighters. And I'm just extremely thankful for him. And, you know, this is not, you know, and, like, in retrospect, it's not even, like, my belt that I honestly would say. I would say it's, you know, it's their belt, you know, it's my coach's belt, because I would not be able to have that belt without them. And I thank them so much for that. You know, so, you know, that belt's theirs. It's not mine. It's a result of their training.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Very well said. Very, very nice, and kind of refreshing to hear a fighter say that, you know, it's very respectful and classy of you to say that the belt belongs to the entire team. It's not just your belt. It's kind of all your belt, because those guys kind of help you get to that point. That team helps you get ready and helps you prepare in order to go out there and take those fights and stuff. And so it shows that you've got a lot of trust, a lot of faith in that team, and you guys have a great atmosphere. I've seen a lot of the Gracie Tampa guys from Bamboo's team, from Pac MMA, you know, Pac MMA, they've got a great kids program out there. The entire mm-hmm. Gracie Tampa family is very, it's deep, very deep family, and you guys have a lot of great fighters coming out of your schools, and it's being shown all the time. You know, just this last weekend, seeing Robin Wisman going out there and getting a, a third round finish in her first fight, and we got you know, so many great fighters that come out of the Gracie Tampa schools that it's cool to see the great array of talent that you guys have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, man, we have, like, a lot of, I mean, we branch out, we, you know, we even have days, like, you know, we watch, it's not just, like, they're going to fights and stuff like that, too. We have, like, you know, kind of like what I call our family time, pretty much. Like, we go and, you know, watch UFC fights together. All of us, you know, we do our belt ceremonies together. And, you know, we're always spending an abroad amount of time together, so we can always be, like, you know, we pick our each other's brains and we know how we're doing. We're just a big family, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. Now getting back into focusing on your fight here, what have you been doing? Have you been doing anything differently in fight camp than normal, or are you just going about business as normal and preparing for Luis as you would any other opponent?
No, essentially I would never, like, I mean, if any of my videos I've normally seen, I never like to be the same fighter every single time. I'm always doing something different. And that's where Master Matt's, like, training comes in. Every fight camp is different. Engaged for, like, every single kind of opponent, or, you know, it has to be better than the last. I don't prepare myself the same way every single time. I change my game entirely, so I can never, you know, I like to be surprising, you know. You know, I like to be like, oh, you know, Danny's like this way, this fine, he's the same way this way. He's doing the same thing. I don't like doing that. I like, you know, the last fight I did, it was it was like a more traditional Thai stance, kickboxing, and I did some wrestling, performed wrestling there, some jiu-jitsu. Now everything's different. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not different as in I changed everything around and started from point A, but I built upon and corrected the slight errors because I watch myself every single fight I do. I continuously watch what I do, and I correct what was the flaw in myself, because how can I progress if I'm doing or fighting everybody the same exact way? So I have to correct myself in order to fight the next opponent, because the higher amount of fights I get or however much amount of wins I get, you know, my opponents are going to get harder. For instance, Lewis himself, you know, he's a harder opponent that I'm a fight. And, you know, I think he deserves a better me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Very well said. Very well-spoken fighter. You know, sometimes fighters that aren't – some guys are quiet. Some guys don't talk a lot. Some guys are very well-spoken, have a lot to say. It's very nice and refreshing to hear when some of you guys, some of these fighters have a lot to say, man. You're a very well-spoken guy. How long have you been in this game? You know, what got you into fighting?
Well, I always wanted to be in fighting. It's just, you know, growing up, I was – you know, I had to go the hard route, you know. I was never able to afford anything, pretty much. So I started, like, I've only been fighting for competing for about over a year and a half, I would say. So, you know, obviously I haven't been there, and, you know, I'm still a baby in this industry. So, like, I haven't been doing it that long. You know, growing up, I didn't have, like, you know, that luxurious childhood, and I've always had to work for everything I had to do, and we couldn't afford a lot of things growing up. You know, I was helping, you know, mother as a single parent, you know, helping her pay bills when I was, like, 7 years old. I've been working since 7 years old. So I've never known what, like, you know, having, you know, being able to do things. I've always been raised with responsibility, and it's like the first time in my life I'm doing something I love, because, you know, watching it, I was always like, wow, man, this is so cool. I would love to do this. And, you know, have the opportunity to do that now, which is, you know, fantastic. I'm living my dream. And my dream is, like, to go very up, you know, get very high up there, to be, you know, at the point where all these greats are. And, you know, like Jose Aldo and, you know, Anthony Pettis, Benson Henderson, Jordan St. Pierre, and all of them. You know, they're the greats, and I want to taste that. You know, my desire for knowledge and everything never ceases. Like, I understand, like, you know, the hunger to fight, but I have a hunger for knowledge. And I love fighting. It's just I want to learn more, learn, and learn. This is my thing. And
yeah. Awesome, man. Very well said. Now, when do you see yourself, do you see, you know, going pro anytime soon, or are you looking to kind of hang out in the amateur ranks for a while, kind of get a little bit more experience? What's your goal ultimately, kind of short term?
Well, like my, at least like the pro, things like Master Matt, he's the one that, you know, ultimately makes decision to see if like I'm ready or so to go pro. I mean, I have a whole bunch of people ask me, oh man, you know, when are you trying to go pro, Danny, and stuff like that? You know, I tell him, like, you know, it's up to him. You know, I even, like, even when John Presco, and the last time when I won my title, he's like, you know, we're interested when you're going to go pro. I even told him, well, you know, there goes the guy you ask. Because I have 100% faith in my coaches and the Master Matt on when they know I'm ready. Because, you know, Master Matt has been through the UFC. He's done all of this. So he knows what he's talking about. And I trust in them. Trust in all my coaches on when I'm ready to do all this stuff. So I want to go pro. I mean, that's my main goal, but I want to know that I'm ready to do that 100% of the way, not just, you know, I don't want to be, like, thrown into the wolves pretty much and, you know, get torn apart and spit back out. Yeah, that's not what I want to be. I want to be, you know, that guy that goes into his pro fights confident, 100%, that knows he can, like, you know, give his all against his opponent, and give his opponent as well a good fight as, you know, the desire for me to have a good fight. So, you know, entirely is like to answer the question, you know, that's entirely up to Master Matt when he wants me to go pro and everything, because, you know, everybody tells me I'm good and great, and quite frankly, I just think I'm okay. I don't think, you know, I don't have the high head about me being, oh, I'm awesome, and like, you know, this, I know there's so much to learn, so I just think I'm okay, and I just go by.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Well, listen, you know, is you know, WCFL8 Undisputed is going to be a big time event, very big event in the amateurs, and there's going to be a lot of great fights on the card. You're one of them. Danny Matos versus defending that title against Luis Sicara. Any last words or any last things that you'd like to say? And then also, obviously, give shout outs to any sponsors that you have, any thank yous that you'd like to do, and where people can find you on social media.
Oh, of course. You know, I'd like to thank, first thing, my coaches for, you know, training me and being there for me from step one. They saw something in me that, you know, I longed to see myself. And, you know, thanking Lewis, you know, giving me the opportunity to fight him. I mean, thank you. Like, I really appreciate it. And I thank my sponsors. Like, you know, No Judges Needed for giving me my apparel, you know, hats, rash guards, my fight shorts and stuff like that. It's, like, really solid gear. And, you know, my pro health. You know, like my chiropractic, they, you know, crack out my bones and all this whatnot to keep me out in there and everything. Athletic Studio, they get me ready, you know, like cardio-wise. I mean, they've done a lot. Total Nutrition for, you know, I wouldn't have been able to survive this fight camp without them. I mean, I think I would have killed over a long time ago during this fight camp because it's been so strenuous. So, you know, the supplements they provided me, you know, really helped me. And, you know, I just want to make sure I'm not forgetting any of this, like, a little bit. I'm not used to having a sponsor thing just yet, so it's still, like, brand new to me.
Yeah, all good, man.
Yeah, and the Alibi Whiskey, you know, they help support me as well. Yeah, I just like to thank them all, you know, my mother, like, she passed and everything, but I still fight for her and my family and everything as well. And just
that's awesome.
My faith.
That's awesome, man. And where can people find you on social media, dude?
Well, right now, like, I have my Facebook page, you know, Daniel Matos. Nothing specific. You know, the profile picture is really out there. So you can, you know, come in, shoot me a friend request, and then, you know, just check me out. Fights are always linked on my page and everything like that if anybody's interested. You know, I'm building up the Twitter stuff. Like, I'm still brand new to this thing. I'm not used to, like, you know, people asking me, oh, where can I find you and all stuff. So, like, it's still, like, unbelievable for me because I'm coming up from, like, this really poor kid that had, you know, get bullied in school all the time and make fun of to, like, this person that seems to be known by other people. So it's, like, I'm still trying to build up my morale and everything like that.
All right, all man. Listen, Danny, thanks for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next Saturday at the event and looking forward to seeing a really phenomenal fight, what I think is probably one of the best fights on the card. between you and Luis Sicar, man. So thank you again for joining us. Have a great night, and we'll see you next weekend, man.
All right, thank you so much for the interview, and you have a great night yourself.
All right, man, take it easy.
All
right. Right on, that's Danny Matos. Like I said, 145-pound championship, Danny versus Luis, the Cuban assassin, Zakara, who fights out of world-class martial arts. I've never met Danny before, seen him fight, I think, once or twice. Dude's a good, really good fighter, man, really great talent. And Luis, I do know, on the other hand, Luis is kind of a punk. I'm just kidding. I love Luis Sicar, man. He's a talker. This guy right here, if fighting doesn't work out for this guy, I'm sure comedy will. Fortunately for him, he's a really good fighter because he's not a very good comedian. So I have had the unfortunate of rolling with Luis before, and he tapped me out in submissions I didn't never even heard of before. So I think it's going to be a really good fight. Two really good fighters coming out of some really good schools. So want to thank all of our guests tonight. Fun episode, a lot of fun episode. I do apologize again to Cyrus and our listeners for the couple minutes or so that were cut out during his interview because Blog Talk Radio sucks and can't figure out how to get their crap together. So we do apologize for that. Before we wrap up here for the night, one more thing that me and Spencer kind of both wanted to talk about. And is Spencer still there? Yeah, I think he's back now. You back now, Spencer?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Hey, you know what? We haven't run any sponsor ads all night, so let's run a couple ads real quick, and then we'll talk about this fighter uniform crap. So here we go. Let's run some sponsor ads.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability, with over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Pro-Am Championship Belt, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am. Championship belt.
And I will tell you, first thing foremost, first-hand experience, there is nothing as cool as a Pro-Am belt. I got my Pro-Am belt in the mail last Friday, and I've hardly gone anywhere without it since. I love this belt. It is phenomenal. It is of the greatest quality. It is amazing. The design on the strap on the front with the Madhouse logo is precision. It is absolute perfect precision. It is so amazing. I love this freaking thing. My girlfriend is so embarrassed because I've been taking it with me everywhere. We went out to eat Sunday night for my birthday. My birthday was last Sunday, and we went out to eat that night. I wore it at the restaurant. I had it with me the whole night. I freaking love this belt. There is nothing
yep.
as cool as holding a real, like, you know, growing up, I watched wrestling. I was a big wrestling fan. I always liked that stuff, and when the guys would come out with their belts, they'd hold their belts up on the turnbuckles on the corners of the ring. There was nothing as cool as that to me as a kid. And now I don't have that turnbuckle or that ring or anybody looking at me, but screw that, man. I pick up that belt every couple hours and just hold it in the air and close my eyes and pretend like I'm like the Rock or something. Like,
ladies and gentlemen, Matthew takes this to class with him.
I don't take
class.
It to class. I don't go that far with it, buddy. I don't take it to class with me, but I have been taking it with me I had it at the Fights With Me last Saturday. You know what's going to be awesome is when I'm covering like XSC, World Series of Fighting, Bellator events, when they come through here, I will have that belt with me, and I will be requesting everyone I take a picture with to hold it. So the next time I see Boss Rutan, I'm going to do everything in my power to get Boss Rutan to hold that belt. But, yeah, it's awesome, man. Pro-Am Belts really does a phenomenal job. But I got to say, before we jump into fighting uniforms, we did not touch on this because this happened last Friday night, and it sucks when something so cool comes out, like such cool news comes out, like the day after our show, because we have to wait a whole week to talk about it, and it's annoying. But made official last Friday night, I did have an inside scoop on this Thursday night after the show. Delaney Owen is officially an Invicta FC 115-pound strawweight fighter. Could not be happier for her. She got a 4-fight deal with them. Her and about 4 other girls were signed. Only 2 of them, as far as I know, from within the U.S. I do believe they went international with a few fighters. But Delaney Owen, Lil Scrappy, right here out of Tampa, Florida, is officially an Invicta FC fighter. And I couldn't be happier. I'm just beyond excited for this girl. She has done so much. And she's well deserving of it. So I just wanted to give a shout out here. I've told her congratulations many times online and in person, but I just wanted to say it right here too. I'm just happy for Delaney and looking for big things for her and her career.
Yeah, right, and Victor's talking their talent. They actually had Matthew. You said 4. They actually had 15 signees on Friday.
Oh, my bad.
Including like you said, Delaney Owens. Amber Brown is 3-1. Lydia Souza from Brazil, 5-0. And then most recognized from the Ultimate Fighter, Peggy Morgan and Roxanne Modafferi from last season of Tough. So, yeah, they're definitely – each division is loaded now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, real quick, let's get in – let's quick on this subject before we close out for the night. Fighter uniforms. UFC's been talking about this, and I'm not sure how long it's been out there. I've been hearing about it this last week, but talking about a standard uniform, I guess, shirt, shorts, hat that all fighters would wear to the cage. They would all wear the same thing. The shorts, I guess, would give spots on them for sponsors to go. That's all I know about it so far. They're kind of working out the deal. It would be with some sort of a major clothing company. I would assume it's going to be with Nike. Nike seems to be wanting to link up with UFC and do stuff there. So I would assume Nike would be making these uniforms. Plain and simple, I think it's stupid. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't think it should happen. That's what I have to say on it.
You mentioned the sponsors earlier, and I think that goes right along with it. They're trying to control what's seen. Who gets the spotlight as far as merchandise and all that. They only want the big stuff. They don't want the stuff like Intimidation Clothing that's supporting all fighters from all organizations from just starting off to way up there like Jessica Eye and Brian Rogers and Dan Spahn. Like you said, they want Nike, they want Anderson Silva with Burger King, they want all that stuff with the uniforms. I don't know. I agree with you. It's immediately when I saw that, I had a one-word answer, and that was no.
Yeah, stupid. Let the fighters wear what they want to wear to the cage. Stop intervening. You're controlling everything else they're doing. They can't talk to anybody without your permission. They can't fight anywhere. You have some people sitting on the shelf for 6 months because they don't have a fight, and the UFC won't let them fight anywhere else, wasting their talent away. Let the guys and the ladies wear whatever they want to wear to the cage, man. You know, that's where they're making – a lot of these guys, they're not making much money off of the fight itself. They're making the money off of the sponsors they have. So let them wear whatever the hell they want to wear out to the cage and leave that the hell alone. It's just bull crap, in my opinion, honestly. It's just stupid. It's about as stupid as the jerseys that the NBA players wore at the All-Star game. Did you happen to see that?
I actually did not. I saw a picture of it, though.
It's terrible.
You're going there. The jerseys they wore on, I believe it was Christmas Day. That was Christmas Day.
Yeah, they look like soccer jerseys. Well, I mean, what the hell? This is basketball. That is not a basketball jersey. That is a freaking shirt. And they wore, yeah, you're right. It's the same exact style of jerseys they wore on Christmas Day as what they wore for the All-Star game. And it's just stupid. You know, I don't understand what these companies are thinking and what the – what the leagues are thinking, you know? Like, I just don't get it, you know? That's a different, because that's team sports where you're wearing uniforms, so it's okay. It's a little bit more understandable there, but it's just stupid, man. It just makes no sense for fighter uniforms. And I think that includes Dave Caveman Rickles walking out with a dinosaur in a caveman suit and stuff. If that's what he wants to wants to wear, then let him wear that. But
that's walkout.
All right, man. We're gonna wrap up for the night. We want to thank anybody and everybody who listened to us, and especially those who might still be listening all the way to the end of the show. We appreciate it. I do want to give a quick shout out to Mark Rain, Cheyenne Velasquez's father. I got to meet him in person this last week. He told me he listens at 10 p.m. every week and has for quite a while now. So I want to give him a special shout-out and say that was awesome to hear. You know, we sponsor Madhouse sponsors Cheyenne, and Cheyenne was supposed to fight this last weekend. It didn't exactly happen, and you know, which is crappy, but it is what it is. Cheyenne will be ready for her next fight, as she is the warrior princess, and there's little things that can stop her, not much that can stop her. So I just want to say thanks to Mark for kind of coming and finding me and introducing himself to me and saying, hey, you know, I'm a big fan. He said he listens to the show every week, and he listens to it live, even, he said. So I want to say thanks to him, and thank you to everybody else who does take the time out to listen to us each week. I don't think either one of us could say enough how much we appreciate it. So that'll be
definitely.
It for us. We'll be back next week doing the same thing. We've got next week will be a really big show. It'll be the week of these fight cards. We have next week we'll have a breakthrough MMA interview as well as WCFL and RFC. So we'll be continuing that trend of doing that, as well as we'll be doing another XFC interview. So thank you everybody for joining us tonight. Team Madhouse, MMAMadhouse.com for all of your great covers. Nobody does it like we do. And that's it, zombies. We'll see you guys next week.
Don't let Daniel Cormier push you around.
Don't do it.
Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original.
All right, zip it.
You can't even
zip it. Zip.
Look, all
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I can't.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frown, would you
please do high pin the wall? Me for here with all. Subtitle, zip it.
I'm just trying to.
Zip. Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want
zip.
You. Stop.
Come here. Come here. Come here.
You know
what?
You're like a child.
Come here.
Talking. If you.